Cap Barrasso from Fantasy Book Spot, and I'm here with Alex Bledsoe, author of The Sword-Edged Blonde. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great. You know, this is our first actual phone interview that we're going to be turning into an MP3 for everyone to listen. So, as I told Alex before, I'm a little nervous myself, and I'm sure everyone is. We'll try to keep it nice, short, and sweet with a lot of information and hopefully be enjoyable for everybody. So, Alex, one of the first questions I have, I very much enjoyed this book. It was wonderful. It's not specifically in the genre that I'm used to. I'm an epic fantasy type person, you know, three or four books. But I found this book to be, you know, pretty packed full of information in a cross-genre mix of fantasy and mystery. How did you kind of come up with that mix?
Well, a lot of it had to do with kind of a reaction of my own to some of the fantasy that I was reading. And this was several years ago. I had gotten kind of burned out on the things that you mentioned, the big epic fantasy where you might pick up a book that looks interesting and then you see that it's book three of seven and you realize, you know, you probably can't just jump into the middle of the story. So I wanted to kind of write something different from that. And I also wanted to bring in my own interest in, you know, hard-boiled detective mystery into a fantasy setting because I thought that would give it kind of a grittier, a more direct emotional connection to the characters. It's also why I chose to use, you know, fairly common names for the characters too, instead of, you know, reaching for something that might be a little more typically fantasy. I mean, my hero's name is Eddie. You know, we have characters named Kathy, Phil, things like that.
I noticed that. I found interesting, as you once told me, you are from the South. I remember reading the book and seeing the word Haas. It struck me as very interesting because it's not something I would normally find there. And you're right. You used very, you know, easy names that, you know, could be in a non-fantasy setting as well. I was a big fan of Eddie LaCrosse. I thought he was done wonderfully. You know, since you said you were a fantasy reader, can you take us a little bit through how he grew? I mean, what else have you read that you kind of based him on? I'm a big Vlad Talos fan from Brust. I felt like there was some sort of connection there as well.
Well, the actual initial origin of this character goes back to when I was a senior in high school, and I had gone with a couple of my buddies to take a class in family living. And the reason we took this class is because there were only girls in the class, and we wanted to be where the girls were.
Obviously.
So we sign up for this class. We're the only three boys in there. And the teacher for the class was this beautiful woman named Tia, who had just graduated from college. This was her first teaching job, and the teenage girls in the class didn't stand a chance next to her because we were just enraptured. And of course, you know, I do what teenage geeks from time immemorial have done to try to impress girls. I wrote her a story, and that was the original Eddie LaCrosse story, except at the time he was called Devereaux LaCrosse.
Okay.
Which didn't, you know, it was what your typical teenage boy would probably write. But mm-hmm. The thing that held it for me that made me keep going back to this character was he always had his own distinctive voice. Even as I began to write other things and progress as a writer, I kept going back to this character and this story. And honestly, the first third of the novel is still pretty much the same story it was back then. But obviously, you know, my technique has improved quite a bit.
So are you saying that there's somewhere hidden in your house other Eddie LaCrosse stories that we just haven't seen yet? Are you looking to do a little bit more? I mean, I enjoyed the book, and I know we talked about maybe, you know, epic fantasy where it carries on, you know, through a couple books. But, you know, are there other Eddie LaCrosse stories to be told?
Yeah, the next one will be out next year this time, and the title is still kind of up in the air on that, but it's, you know, it will be out next October.
Wonderful. Now, so you're actually, this is out by Nightshade, just so everybody knows. How did you come in contact with them, and how did this all work out?
Well, it came through my agent, Marlene Stringer. She had been shopping this book around for a while, and it, you know, as this conversation says, it crosses a couple of different genres, and that had proved problematic placing it somewhere, because a lot of editors would say, well, it's fantasy, but it's also mystery, and it's also hard-boiled, and it's also got magic in it, and they didn't know what to do with it. Well, the guys at Nightshade got it immediately. They knew exactly what to do with it, and they have been just 100% behind it all the way.
Well, I'm glad that they were, because it is, like I said, a very nice book and a great read. So let me take it back a little bit, because you said something about gritty. And if I have any qualms about this book, and this is an extremely small one, it was almost a little too gritty and maybe a tad bit too, let's say, sexually intense in one point of the book without giving too much away. Where did that come from? I was actually taken back a little bit. Not that it stopped my enjoyment of the book, but from my standpoint, I'm reading this book, boom, and it's like boom, and I was kind of like, wow, okay, that's kind of interesting. How did that, without giving too much away, because we don't want to talk about the book, but what scene I'm talking about? How did that come about, and how did you kind of write through that as a writer?
Well, I assume I know the scene that you're talking
Huh.
about. It just felt like the thing, the characters, particularly the character of Eddie, was in a position where whatever happened to him would have to be so powerful and so intense that it would stick with him over, a vast amount of time before he came back to really deal with it.
Okay.
And it seemed like a true thing. And I didn't try to pander. I didn't try to make it, explicit for the sake of being explicit, but I wanted it to have the kind of impact for the reader that it had for the character.
Gotcha. It definitely did have an impact. And like I said, I am not a well-read mystery person. I just want to, point that out from the get-go. I am strictly a fantasy person. It definitely was an interesting plot twist. And I enjoyed maybe what some others would call a retelling of almost a mystery story. I mean, there's only so many ways you can go about this. You did a wonderful job at actually telling a story that, we've actually heard bits and pieces of maybe in other places before, but it's so woven together that it really takes on a very, very nice reading, from the standpoint of the person that picks up this book. Was it a lot? How much did you actually have to cut? I mean, this book is not by any stretch a huge book, but it's such a great story in these 233 pages. How did you have to cut that back? Or was it something that like you said, you had this short story and you kind of went forward with it? How did you come up with this, the book
No,
that I have in front of me?
it actually wasn't cut back at all. What's there is what I wrote, and all I can say about the length is, it seemed the appropriate length to tell the story. And it's like a lot of things. You can make things longer, but you can't necessarily make them better. And to their credit, again, Nightshade, understood that.
Hello? Okay.
And I don't, I know that the next book is a little bit longer, and I suspect that, the third book will probably be considerably longer just because of the nature of the kind of stories that they are. But this story felt like, this felt like the right amount of length for it. So.
It did work out well. Now, so how many books do you actually have planned? Is it something that you have something, a planned out story for Eddie LaCrosse, or is it something that you're just going to continue with? I mean, I look at a book like, let's see, Hawk and Fisher would be one of mine. And, it's a story that they kind of tell from a mystery fantasy standpoint that just kind of keeps going, where there's no real plot rather than the mysteries that come up for the main character. Is it something that you have an overall story for Eddie, or is it, he's going to pick these pieces of mystery as you continue on writing?
Well, my goal has always been for anybody who picks up, say, the second or third book to be able to enjoy it as a self-contained story and to not have to have read the earlier books. The people who, who did read the earlier books, they would get a little bit richer experience, but it wouldn't be essential. And right now I've got four ideas pretty solidly locked in. Beyond that, it's like any kind of detective type story. You can always find a new mystery for the detective. The trick is to find a mystery that tells you as much about the detective as it does about the plot. And so
Gotcha.
far, like I said, I've got four of those, lined up. Beyond that, we'll just have to see.
And are we going to see some of the other same characters?
Yeah, actually, the second book in particular takes place in a particular location where you really get to spend a lot of time with the same characters. It's not The current book, is a journey, so you meet a lot of different people and don't spend that much time with them just because of the nature of the story. But a lot of those minor characters will come back and you'll get to spend more time and learn about them in more detail.
Well, I hope one of those characters happens to be Phil. I liked his character as well. I thought he worked well with Eddie. Eddie was somebody that, maybe we find out a little bit later in the book, so I don't want to go into too much detail, that he had a past that he was maybe running away from a little bit. Are we going to find more about that in the next book as well? Because I thought that was interesting that someone would take a life that, currently looked good from a standpoint and then kind of run away to do something that was a little bit more dangerous, per se.
Yeah, with each story, the idea is always to tell you more about Eddie as well as tell you the story so that, he becomes a deeper character, more meaningful character. And in my head, he is kind of a tragic character because he suffered a lot of, a lot of loss that he's had to overcome. So, yeah, each story hopefully will tell you a lot more about him as a character.
And how did you, in the beginning, we see, the case isn't really what the case is about in the beginning. We kind of have a little of a offshoot case. How did that come into being? Is it something that you wanted to show him as, this investigator first and kind of go from there? Or, was it something to kind of introduce us to the character? I mean, it was,
right.
It got real large very quickly in a different avenue, per se.
Right. It's the pre-credit sequence in a James Bond movie. It sets up the situation, introduces you to the character. You spend a little time seeing what he does in general, and then you're moved into the larger story. Hopefully, a smooth transition there so that, you know enough about this character that his reactions later make a kind of sense, and you trust his perception of things.
Okay, that definitely makes sense. I have a question that I always like to ask. I'm a big art type person. I love fantasy art. I actually do not have the book with the artwork on it. So what are your thoughts, from the artwork? Did they actually capture the book, and how did you think the cover came out overall?
Oh, I thought it came out pretty doggone good. I knew about Justin Sweet before this and was really tickled when I found out he was doing my cover. And I have absolutely nothing but praise for the result. I think it captures the feeling of the story, and really is a really striking image.
Yeah, no, I think that would be great. I can't wait to see the cover, like I said. I want to thank Alex. This has been wonderful. Let me give you a little bit of an opportunity for any last words before we sign off here about your book. Like I said, it's The Sword-Edged Blonde from Alex Bledsoe, and it's being published by Nightshade, and you can pick it up now. So, Alex, anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, I'd just like to thank you for having me on here and for inaugurating this interview thing with me. And I hope that anybody who reads the book really enjoys it, and I hope that, also that there'll be later opportunities for us to discuss other books.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Alex. You have a great one.